Cal Neva. Here's your host, Kenny B.
Welcome, sports fans, to this week's edition, the pre-pack football edition of the William Hill Sports Show. Well, it was supposed to be the pre-pack edition of the William Hill Sports Show. I'm your host, Kenny B. Coming to you live from the ESPN studios with Josh Nagel from Sportsline. What's going on, Josh?
Ken, like you said, it's officially week zero, as they say in college football. We're getting some taste of it tomorrow. It's supposed to be Notre Dame and Navy, but if you can't have that, Central Arkansas and Austin Peay is the next best thing. I believe it probably be the highest rated FCS game in history.
Absolutely. So, and John the Hawk Stevens over to my right on his luxurious love seat all by himself.
I love it. The I'm not happy you reminded me that there's a Pack game tomorrow.
It snuck up on me.
There should be.
It really snuck up on me, John. To be perfectly honest with you guys, last week we went over week one NFL lines, and I just remember thinking, they said, yeah, let's go over those. I thought, man, maybe it's a little bit too far out.
A couple weeks.
It just registered, and I knew it, but I don't know why it didn't register that, guys, NFL starts in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
If you're a fantasy commissioner and your league is waiting for you to set a draft date, listen, I'm in five leagues and the commissioner in five, and I haven't set one date for any of my leagues. And like all of a sudden, I'm getting bombarded. And I'm going, wait, guys, we've got plenty of time. No, Ken, it's in 2 weeks.
Right.
It was 2 weeks. The first NFL game is 2 weeks from yesterday. Is that not correct?
That is correct.
Isn't it Kansas City and Houston?
Yep.
Ken, the reason it's catching us off guard is because we're not used to pre-show, which would be the exhibition games or whatnot, gives you a taste of it.
Sure.
You're getting ready and everything's, you're just hearing about roster moves and cuts or whatever, or watching Hard Knocks, and there's just a big lead.
I haven't even watched Hard Knocks. I was just going to say that.
Yeah, I didn't. I haven't either, even though, I know a few episodes have aired. But so it's one of those things. Similarly, I've mentioned, a couple of times how baseball caught me off guard only because, you don't see it coming. Before you know it, it's just go. And there was, again, none of the, exhibition stuff and sort of the, pageantry that you're used to seeing before it kicks off. So it is bizarre in that sense without seeing any of these teams play at all. It'll just be final roster cuts have been made. And the first time you see live action, it's a game that counts. I mean, it's fascinating in ways.
Not just a game. Yeah. The Texans-Chiefs, I mean, they played in the playoffs last year, if you guys remember. Obviously, if the listeners remember, they blew a big lead,
24-0.
Absolutely. So absolutely crazy. September. And I am not going to be here for that game. I'm actually going to Vegas that week, guys. So I'm giving you guys a heads up right now. I'm going to go down and hang out with Nick Bogdanovich in week one of the NFL season and try and get off and play some golf and, do some stuff like that. So I'm going to be off that week, just so you guys know. Snuck up on me. So, John, like you alluded to, we're going to get to the NFL. We'll go with these NFL games again for week one. UFC, but the Pack was supposed to open up tomorrow against UC Davis. I mean, we're supposed to be sitting in the skybox laughing and scratching and, watching. Yeah, I was more optimistic and more excited about this year's Pack football team than I've probably been in the last 10 years. Everything that I heard, we're moving into Coach Norvell's his players and his system and, Mummy and the offensive weapons that we had.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my goodness, was I fired up for this year. And unfortunately, it's all for naught, and I totally understand, the tough decisions that, Coach Norvell and the athletic director Doug Newsom and those guys had to make. And it's very, very tragic, but, hopefully we get through it. At least we know this way that, knock on wood, everybody's going to stay healthy.
Yeah, and if spring football does happen, unlike some of the major schools where the superstars aren't going to play, these guys are going to play, you would think. And so, you get Carson Strong, just to mention one, he's not setting up for the draft coming up like a Trevor Lawrence would be if he were playing spring football. So you're still going to get the best Pack players out there, I would imagine. That's a long ways off as opposed to tomorrow waiting for the spring. And the Big Ten – I was talking about opening up on Thanksgiving weekend now.
Correct. That's what I heard. The Big Ten is, they're talking about opening up on with an abbreviated schedule on Thanksgiving Day weekend. And ESPN, I saw something today, put out a mock playoff because it looks like, do you really think the Pac-10 or the Pac-12 can change courses, guys? I know the Big Ten canceled. The Pac-12 was the first to cancel, I believe, if that's correct. I'm pretty sure it's
Big
correct.
Ten was.
Was it the Big Ten?
Yeah, Big Ten was.
And the Pac-12 was set.
Pac-12 followed shortly after.
Oh, they swallowed the fly after.
Yeah, exactly.
So, can they – I mean, once everybody else kind of gets open and embedded with an abbreviated schedule? I mean, do they?
I don't see why not.
Well, I don't know. I mean, Newsom, what he came out with today now, I mean, he's just, I don't know. He might just, he right. might, I don't know what the governor of California's got going up there, over there, but.
I don't know. But it's, I don't know why they couldn't change course. Nothing's set in stone there, right?
I mean, do they really want to be the only conference in the United States that's not going to play?
That would be something.
I don't know. Josh.
Yeah, I mean, I think logistically it's one of those things. It'd be tough to pull off with, you know, short notice or whatnot. But, again, we've seen so many things, like even the UFC or whatnot, all these organizations carrying on. And it's all kind of makeshift, right? But you kind of make it work. It, you know, there's ways to do it. Like, even now, I'm sure we'll talk about tomorrow's card at some point. But even UFCs, you know, they're having all kinds of issues, whatever, travel and all. I mean, they're rosters for the fights are a work in progress until the word go. I mean, they've had, you know, same day replacements, guys they brought in who were, you know, training in Vegas who they knew of, and there's a couple more, but they find a way to get the events going. So with this, it's like if these, you know, conferences want to find a way to take part, there may be a way to pull it off. I'm just curious, kind of, I said from the start, I think the NCAA should have, you know, played a bigger role in all this. And I would also suggest that maybe it's not too late, right, for them to maybe NCAA calls a meeting of all the conference commissioners. You know, they, whatever, maybe for a weekend, they hammer it out somewhere and say, let's figure this out and have a way to have the championship this year. I feel like it's not too late to pull that off.
I hope so. I mean, I'd like to find a resolution to keep all the athletes and everybody safe and still, you know, have some sense of college football. I mean, I'm excited about it. I don't think there's any chance that the Mountain West is going to reverse course. And
I was going to say, I would hope it would trickle down to the Mountain West, too.
I would certainly hope so, John. Yeah. You're right. But, you know, is it?
I don't know. Who knows?
I know. But going back to what you said, John, I'm pulling it up right now. Central Arkansas. This game is on ESPN.
Yeah.
Central Arkansas and Austin Peay. Austin Peay last year was 11-4 and 7-1 in conference. And I left all my notes on my office desk, so I'm kind of winging this as we go when it comes to some of these exact numbers. But now I'm looking up Central Arkansas. And what they got, Josh, did you, have you, okay, here we go. Central Arkansas last year, the Bears. It's the Bears versus, you know what the nickname of the Austin Peay is, don't you?
I do. I don't know what it is, but I do know what it is.
I think I Josh well. Is looking.
I'm also stuck. I know that, dude, they're just in the NCAA tournament. I should know
Steve
this.
Steve Harper would be mad at me right now.
Is it the Governors?
I don't know what it is.
That sounds about right. I was going to say Generals. I knew it was something along those lines. Right.
So they were 11-4 last year, 7-1 in conference. Central Arkansas playing out of the Ohio Valley Conference. They were, and I just lost. There it goes. 9-4 and 7-2 in conference. You know, Nick Bogdanovich, this is up and ready to bet, guys. I mean, Nick has it on the William Hill, the mobile app for the William Hill. You can fire that up at www.williamhill.us, a full-service sports betting app right at your fingertips. The greatest thing ever, by the way. Game kicks off tomorrow. It's a 6 p.m. kickoff, and it's on ESPN, and I'm going to bet it.
Is it 6 p.m. our time or their time?
You know, that's a good question, John.
I would guess.
You know what? Yeah. You could be right, John, now that you say that. Maybe I was looking at 6 p.m. Well, I'm on the website right now. So, you know what? This easy way to figure this out.
Right. Let's see what the app says.
You got to go Central Arkansas for Scottie
Pippen alone. It looks like 6 p.m. our time.
6 p.m. our time. The game opened up as early it was Arkansas, Central Arkansas, -4. It's all the way up to -5.5 with a total of 45.5. So, you know, obviously in a game where – just for sports handicappers, when you get an isolated game like this with two teams that nobody really knows anything about, just through generality, the public's going to hammer the favorite.
Right.
They're going to hammer the favorite.
Yeah, Josh? That makes sense. Ken, I was thinking the same thing. There might be, I'm sure there's serious bettors somewhere who have scouted this thing out, and who knows, maybe they're waiting for, 6 points on Austin Peay. Like, with any isolated game like this, it's kind of funny, even though it seems sort of, recreational to your average person, there's going to be some people who are pretty serious about it. And yet, like you mentioned, I feel like, by and large, the public's just driving this. They don't know anything. Just take the home chalk and, hope for the best. But, yeah, I haven't researched this game that much. We've had a couple, Sportsline staff people on it. But if I put down the money tomorrow, for sure, I'm going to look into it and see what's going on. But, of course, with this sort of steam, my inclination is just to take the underdog for sure. If it keeps growing, like 6, 6.5, out of principle, I'll take a shot on the Governors there.
You know, and going back to – let's just follow this up real quick, because there's going to be Central Arkansas is going to have two games under their belt by the time we go on the air again next week, because on September 3rd, next Thursday, they play UAB. You know, so I guess, yeah. And then there's two games, South Alabama versus Southern Miss. And from what I'm seeing right now is these games have not been canceled. ESPN's they've done a pretty good job on their at their NCAA football tab and the score tab, you know, showing which games have been canceled and which games are still active. And
are there any fans at any of these games?
That's a great question, John. I don't know that. I don't know the answer to
right.
that. But there's, so by this time next week, we're going to have three college football games.
I love it. And
don't forget,
can't be choosy.
It looks like Central Arkansas is probably they're going to have a game underneath their belt before they play UAB next week. Josh?
Yeah, well, of course, the UAB is a Division I team, so you would think, you know, that's a bit of a mismatch. But they're the one. It's interesting, right? Because they're the one that had their program canceled a few years ago because of budget cuts or whatever, brought it back. And I know their coach has been a high-profile candidate for the jobs because it's immediately competitive again. It's crazy. It's like you're starting with nothing. Bring back the program with some guys who are still interested, holdovers and whatnot. And they've been a bowl-bound team the last couple of years. That's crazy how good they've been almost immediately. But the thing is, I'd have to look into this too, but there's a kind of a tragic backstory with UIB. I think they've lost two or three players this offseason, like players who passed away, various tragedies. So it's kind of a crazy thing too. So I'm sure getting out there in the field, take their mind off some of that
stuff. Cancel the program?
Yeah, a few years back. It was canceled for, I think, one full year, maybe two, but it was one of those things
that's
where
right.
they said, they're one of the teams that, because of, lacking attendance or whatever, doesn't necessarily make money. It was one of those big things, right? Your overall school budget, football, hack that out, would be a big expense saving. It was just, community support and everything was bringing it back. It was kind of funny, too, because they cut it just after UAB had built up to respectability
right.
again. Cut the program, so they were gone for a year, and then they found a way to build, raise the funds and bring it back. And, they've been in bowl games every year.
Huh. It's going to be interesting to see, guys, because next Saturday, not tomorrow, but next Saturday, September 5th, we do have, obviously, the big boys have canceled, but there's a slate of football games that are going to be kicked off next Saturday. Eastern Kentucky, Marshall, Middle Tennessee, Army, SMU, Texas State, Houston Baptist, North Texas, Arkansas State, Memphis, Stephen F. Austin versus UTEP. That's just the first ones that came up on my ESPN Sports app. But so if you're kind of, I put it on our Facebook page, John. If you're jonesing for some college football, there's still some of these smaller universities that looks like they're going to find a way to at least get. Oh, and next Monday, BYU Navy. And Josh, you made the comment that. You've heard that maybe Air Force might only play two games?
Well,
is that what you heard? Or
I wasn't sure that it was mentioned.
That they are going to play Army and Navy, and that's all they have on the slate right now.
Wow. Which is, I can see that.
Yeah, I can see it. And, I mean, the good thing about, we talk about the Phil Steele book all the time, all these schools are still in that. So we're going to have some information. We don't have to go in blind.
So it's like I said, we were saying that
everybody knows about Clemson and Alabama.
Yeah, and before we know it, what is the SEC doing?
They're playing at the end of September, aren't they?
That was the plan, right?
Yeah,
like a few weeks delay, give them a little more preparation time.
Yeah,
and that's the schedule for now.
I think that's still a go.
So this game's going to kick off tomorrow, don't you? You're pretty sure Josh is going to kick off and go?
Yeah, I can't imagine why not. I mean, they've come this far, so barring any sort of last-second hiccup, but it looks like it's a go.
And it's a good indication that Nick Bogdanovich, the lead trader at William Hill, he actually has this lineup. I see you looking at it right now. Is it still 5.5, 145.5, Josh?
Yeah, you got it.
Wow.
So
Arkansas has been touched by Hurricane Laura. I wonder that might be an impediment, but if it's – I believe Central Arkansas is in the central part of the state, so maybe it won't get up that high, yes.
Wow. So I'm excited, guys. ESPN tomorrow night, the first college football game of the year. Hopefully it leads to more. I hope everybody stays safe, obviously.
Right.
I don't want any of these kids to get hurt, because they're really going out there and testing the waters, so to speak.
Right.
Josh.
And it's crazy, too, the FCS. You never know. Like, during regular seasons or whatnot, we have the bowl season coming up, and there's always some good matchups or whatnot. But there are times where in between – there's some breaks between the bowl games and you're waiting for the national championship, whatever, and the FCS playoffs are going on. As we all know, we've seen them on Friday night. So some of those games are insane. Some real good teams there.
Sure.
Carson Wentz played FCS. I mean, some future NFLers out there. And so some of these schools with the traditions are North Dakota State and others, Montana's, whatnot. I mean, those are some amazing games. So it wouldn't surprise me. It's like, yes, it's all we got regardless. But, you mentioned the records and everything else. These are some winning programs. Could be an entertaining game.
Absolutely. And I know people are just looking, people are looking for distractions, Josh, and you know people, and that's kind of you know everybody probably knows by now if you follow sports at all, you know NHL they canceled a few days, NBA canceled a few days, WNBA canceled a few days. There are some tennis matches that canceled a few days, some soccer organizations that canceled a few days, but those are already I think they've had meetings and it appears to be on the surface that they've. The minds to be have decided that it's in the best interest to continue with the seasons. And I think that's where we're headed right now. And America needs these athletes right now more than anything because they need the distraction, whether you're a sports handicapper and you're wagering on games or not. But, you know, all this doom and gloom, you know, we need some positivity. And that's what these pro athletes, they bring to, you know, to – and I respect their position and what they're trying to – bring light to. I do respect all that, but we need the athletes right now to be on the court and respectfully entertaining us and kind of getting our minds off of the doom and gloom in the pandemic.
Well, to that point, Kenny, I think ultimately, like you said, they made the decision coming back. I think, one, because you know the point has sort of been made, but yeah, from a financial perspective, given the amount of money that the NBA and everyone has poured into you're trying to pull this off, it just would have been a bad thing to walk out any longer, costing money that you know for future CBAs or whatever. So, yeah, coming back for sure was a business decision. Like you said, the protest, the point was made or whatnot. But it is kind of funny because it did get your attention, right, how there wasn't anything going on the other night. We'd been having – I'd enjoyed tremendously like the March Madness-style thing of the NBA having games on all day in the office. Yeah. It's like 1 minute, you know, Jazz Nuggets and you're on to Bucks Magic all day long. I'd enjoyed that like you wouldn't believe. But, Ken, even if you can you rewind the tape for a few months back when – you know, there wasn't much going on, and then you know, the UFC was kind of the first to find a way to figure it out. Yeah, there were days, like you said, especially when you're a sports fan, you'll take just about anything. You know, I enjoy the fights to begin with. But they had a few cards, you know, down in Florida and whatnot, where you know, they started about 3 hour time, sometimes stacked cards, you know, 14, 15 fights. And yeah, I would watch the thing 7 hours straight. Absolutely. Like, get your mind off mm-hmm. the world's craziness, and sure. That's the you know role that it provided. And the good news is, like you mentioned, I mean, there's spreads on everything. I mean, like you said, NBA, NHL, everything's supposed to be a go tomorrow.
All right, listen, after first commercial break, I want to hear what John's opinion is on all this. And we have a lot of other stuff to talk about. Like we said, you know, these basketball playoffs are going to fire back up tomorrow as well as the NHL. And, you know, I'm excited about it. And I want to get your guys' opinions on these games. We have the lines up. They're all on the Windmill Sports app. So back after these messages, continue to talk sports on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now, back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva.
Hey, welcome back to the William Hill Sports Show. I'm your host, Kenny B, here with Josh Nagel, John the Hawk Stevens, and Spencer the Board Guy. He's moving in with JD. Apparently, I can't believe we got that lease signed right on the break. But you have to get everything that we promised, right?
Yeah, here we go.
Yeah. Do you have a girlfriend?
I do not.
Oh, boy. He's got a...
Wait a second. Where are you leading on this one?
All right. NBA back in
action. I have a wife and a girlfriend.
Yeah. NBA back in action tomorrow. That's funny.
It's not true, whoever's listening.
Yeah. NBA. Half true. NBA back in action tomorrow. You know, we had the delay because of the social injustices that they're protesting and wanted to be heard, which I totally respect. But we have three games tomorrow, three games Sunday. Four of the six games are possible closeout games. Oklahoma City and Houston, they're tied 2-2. And then on Sunday, the first game on Sunday, game one of the Toronto-Boston series. I think that series is going to be a war. But before we get to that, first game tomorrow, Josh, I have Toronto and Orlando. Milwaukee-Orlando with the Bucks holding a 3-1 game lead in this series. Laying 13.5 with a total of 226.
Yeah.
Is there an angle, and I don't want to be, you know, we're a sports handicapping show, and I don't want to be insensitive to what they're trying to do, but is there an angle with this delay? Milwaukee was the first team to decide not to play. They came out or didn't show up for their shoot-around, and they came out. With the shooting, you know, being in Wisconsin,
right?
You know, I kind of understood their position. Now, do we get a supreme effort from Milwaukee? Do we get a distracted impression or a distracted Milwaukee team? I don't know. And I'm just – what I'm doing is I'm asking your guys' opinion. And believe me, listeners, when I say that I'm not trying to be insensitive to what they're doing, but we're a handicapping show, and if we can find an angle for the listeners, that's all we're trying to accomplish. Yeah. I'm not taking away from anything that they're standing for or what they did.
Well, Ken, I think it's a tough one, but honestly, if I had to guess, I would say no change, only because they've had a few days off. I was on an interview with Chris Paul today where he said, hey, look, we understand. We want to play, and people want the entertainment, and we're coming back. He's like, but you got to understand, this was a serious issue. And he's like, you know what, we needed a breather. Like, people wonder why they weren't playing today. He's like, but believe me, so we've had our rest and our time to focus. He goes, and we'll be back to what you're used to. I believe that. These guys are pros. They have been off a few days. And I don't think it'll be anything to speak of. Of course, I could be wrong. Milwaukee loses if they clearly look distracted. That's a possibility. But, Ken, what I think is fascinating about this series is after the first game in which the Magic somehow sprung an upset, the Bucks have won the next three, not surprisingly. But every single one of them was hung around this number. So they made the perfect neutral court number for Bucks Magic. Yes, but 13.5, 14, every single possession, the last three, the spread's been determined on the final play, and it's been awfully close to the total, too. The total's been on the swing with the last bucket. The very last one is kind of crazy because I had a little something on the Magic. It went up to like 4. I think it got 14.5. I'm like, all right, this is out of control. And it hovered around the number, and they scored a basket. The Magic did a 2 with like 15 seconds left. You think, okay, that'll do it. They'll walk it out. And they fouled anyway.
Yeah.
You're fouling down 13.
I remember.
And, you sit there in horror as the Bucks make 2 more free throws. And then still, like 10 seconds, I mean, the Magic still had like 2 threes, Evan Fournier, whatever, they missed them. And so it's kind of funny to see just how accurate that line is. And because of that, I just think these are too tough. Because even if the Bucks come out strong, blow them away, that's such a vulnerable, type backdoor number. Because we saw it happened like the game before. They were up like 23 at halftime, and Orlando came back and got close to the number. So what's funny is I just feel like, given how airtight these spreads have been, this one's probably a pass. I'm always tempted to take all those points, but the Magic are just, they're shorthanded, with the injuries and everything, and it's amazing how competitive they've been despite like half their roster out injured.
John, I'm going to throw this up to you on the other side of the coin. Let's talk about the Magic real quick. They did steal game one, 122-110. Then they lose the next three, 111-96, 121-107, 121-106. Nick Bogdanovich opened this Bucks minus 13.5 and 226. The Magic are, they're down 3-1, John. Their back's against the wall.
Yeah.
They're playing in a bubble. They've been isolated for so long. I mean, these guys are mature adults. They're mature athletes. They know they don't have a chance. What kind of effort do you get from the Magic? I mean, do you think that they go out there and they said, you know what, it's time to get out of this bubble?
Well,
I don't know. I mean, I'm playing angles here.
Yeah, no, I understand. If it's your last possible game, I know how I would play it. I would, you give everything you have. Just you play on as long as you can. And I mean, they are in Orlando. This is technically home for them, but. After game one,
whose music's gonna be piped in? Is it gonna be?
I think it's
the Bucks.
Yeah, the Bucks are the home team based on the schedule.
So the Bucks are gonna get their. Yeah. They're gonna get the virtual fans behind the free throws trying to distract.
Right, chanting defense late in the game.
So I think with that, this is light. It should be 15.5.
Exactly.
As ugly as the Bucks looked in game one, they've clearly hit that switch and have taken back control. And if they want to cover the 13.5, they will do it. But I think that they can. I like the Bucks' first half here. I think just to blow them out, take control, and then kind of take the foot off the gas, and you get a backdoor cover. I don't ever like to handicap for backdoor covers, but that's the way I would see this going.
I see that. Here's my position, guys. You have one team that legitimately thinks that they're going to win the NBA title this year, in the Milwaukee Bucks.
Right.
I mean, would they go up 2 games last year in the finals and lost the next 4? So here they are trying to win a ring. And you got another team, Magic, that have been isolated for how many months now, down 3-1, and just, I don't know. I love your angle, John. I really do. I think that you get
to play a devil's advocate,
Yeah, but I think that a motivated Bucks team early, and then maybe you can kind of look and see the mindset of maybe the Magic late and see if you can, fire up the app and get some end game and maybe steal a bunch of points late. Because, Milwaukee, they're going to want to arrest people once they get up. But at the same time, they do have the knowledge that, listen, guys, anything can happen. Look what happened last year. We're up 2-0, lose 4-2.
Yeah.
I like the angle of maybe playing Milwaukee early and getting a middle. And I think there's going to be certainly a time in this game where Milwaukee is up at this 13.5. So I'd like to find probably, hopefully it comes down to 13 or maybe buy it down to 13. And then when it does get to back up to that 13, maybe come back and play the Magic at a 16 or a 17, Josh, and take a 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. And I've been doing that in a lot of these games.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. In fact, I'm not much of a first half you know, player, whatever, with this exception that John mentioned, because there's a clear angle there. That's where, you know, the Bucks have exerted control in each of the first halves of the past three games. But with that, you know, overall game spread being so vulnerable, that might be the time to do it. And, of course, the end game, like you mentioned, and that's been the moving target. That's one of those where, you know, if the Bucks suddenly do go up, you know, 20-ish points or whatever, the in-game spread would be right around that 20.5, whatnot. It's one of those things where you could target that middle pretty easily, and the in-games come in handy the whole playoffs.
Yes, sir. So that's kind of the angle that I have on this game. Next game is a 3:40 game. It's game five between the Houston Rockets and Oklahoma City Thunder. You know, you look at the Rockets, they cruise to Josh talking about, you know, teams just becoming overconfident, I guess, or maybe the law of averages caught up with the Rockets. But, you know, the first two games of this series, Houston beat Oklahoma City 123-108. So they beat them by, what is that, 15?
Yep.
Game two, they beat them by 11, 12, 13.
And neither was that close.
Yeah, exactly.
Game one was like a 25-point.
Yeah, 103-108, 111-98. Oklahoma City's ready to go away. Then all of a sudden, Oklahoma City comes back and wins games three and four, 119-107 and 117-114. Now, Westbrook hasn't played. I asked John this because I haven't heard definitive evidence yet definitive news reports that Westbrook is back. But you say he is back?
I think Josh
he
said
is.
That.
Oh, maybe, oh, yeah, he is. Because it's reflected in the spread, because he's clearly worth a few points. Because our spread's Rockets minus five with a total of 226. You know, the first two games are like minus
226 already?
Right. And
an hour ago, it was 225. So we've already had a full point.
And
move
you realize
on
the first couple games were like pick-ems, and the Rockets won. They moved to like minus two as an adjustment. So that goes to show you, actually, if you go back to the original spread, that Westbrook's, you know, worth between 3 and 5 points to the spread. So since he's back, and that's cool.
You know what he's worth more than that, Josh? The pace.
Oh, for sure.
The pace.
For sure.
He's not a guy. It's not like you got a big guy coming back where you play at a fast pace, then you get your big man back, and you slow down the pace because you want to get the big man the ball. He's the guy, rebound, outlet, go.
Right. And
so the pace is going to change.
You're right. That's been his style from the start. But, Ken, how much can it change when even without Westbrook, the Rockets were still doing the, you know, whatever, YMCA style, just sling it down the court and shoot a three anyway. But I kind of like the Thunder. I mean, I think Westbrook obviously helps their cause. But I think what you alluded to a little while ago, Ken, it's like, well, what happened with the comebacks? Where I think it's law of averages and everything else. We've seen the Rockets with the Game 7 NBA Finals on the line at home miss 27 straight threes. And the whole analytics thing that tells you, you know, the three is the most, you know, effective shot in the game or whatever.
You hit them.
Except apparently when everything's at stake.
And you don't get riding time?
And you're short arming them. But here's what's funny. But you know what? They just went more all in with that theory, right? Because the only guy they traded, Clint Capela, the only guy who could finish around the basket, had toughness, got rebounds, and they basically traded him for another 3-and-D guy they were reloaded with, Robert Covington. It's like, yeah, he's a nice player, but you gave away the only, you know, guy who gave you some sense of toughness. But they said, no, we're even going smaller with this, you know, quirky style or whatever. And here's what's funny is, did you hear D'Antoni is now believed to be the Pacers' top choice for their? I mean, this guy just keeps getting handed jobs because if nothing else, I guess they find it. First of all, the Pacers are the least constructed team for his style, right? They got guys who play defense and rebound. They have to bring in a whole bunch of new players.
Remember Philly, yeah.
But apparently, after getting swept by the Heat, they're like, well, at least we're going to lose. Let's be more exciting. You bring him in. But everywhere D'Antoni's gone, it ends the same. Realize he's been with the Knicks and the Suns.
It's fun to watch for a while. But
exactly. But it always kind of ends this way. So I like the Thunder from the start. Just they're more solid, right? They can play the up-tempo, but they do have Chris Paul, who I think that's an underrated angle here. I don't think he likes kind of being the scapegoat of the Rockets' past misfortune.
Sure.
The Thunder were better, and I also thought the trade with the Clippers wasn't as lopsided as people thought for Paul George, where you realize Gallinari was sort of just hidden in Los Angeles. He's great. I mean,
Paul's one of the greatest point guards ever lived.
Right, and Gilgeous Alexander, who was also a great young player. He was just sort of buried on the Clippers' depth chart.
Yeah.
So you knew both those guys would just get to floors with pretty much full-time starting roles. So they've been great. Chris Paul's been himself. And some of the other guys, you know, the always injured seeming Nerlens Noel has been good when he's healthy as a defensive stopper. They just have nice parts over there. Steven Adams is tough. Always take the real basketball team over the, you know, fluky one. I hope the Thunder close them out. I really do.
I do, too.
It goes back to the Rockets are minus 255 to win two of the next three games. I mean, you kind of play maybe the Thunder at plus 215, and if the Rockets can steal, or excuse me, the Oklahoma City Thunder can steal one of these next two games? I mean, and you got a nice little payday there, Josh.
Yeah, I would think so. Especially it's just considering it's a tied series. There's value on it because every game, say, has been close. But when you're tied 2-2 and the spreads, you know, started off as a pick 'em, it shows you they saw it as an even matchup. So now you're getting an overlay on evenly matched teams.
So who do you? So who are you guys having in this game? You going to take Oklahoma City plus the 5?
I think so.
Is it going to do? All right.
Yeah, that's a lot of points there. 5. Hopefully, you get up to 5.5 there. I love that.
Well, I think that when you have to understand the handicapping world or the average the square guys, the average Joe has kind of been checked out because you know we've had sports canceled. So when they wake up tomorrow and they see this game and it's on, oh my goodness, basketball's back on. Oh my goodness, Westbrook's playing. You're right, John. 5.5 is not out. 6 is not unrealistic. I think that yeah. I think this is. I'll bet whoever wants to bet a drink that this game closes at 6 or more. I think that if you like Houston, you better get on it right now. If you like Oklahoma City, I'd wait a little bit because I think you can scalp an entire point between now and game time, Josh.
And that's a 226?
The total is 225. No, excuse me. It was 225. In the last hour, it's moved a full point to the
right.
Over.
It's 226 and a half.
I understand that move.
On the total?
Yeah, you're not betting this under.
No, it's one of the games. The pace is going to be there.
Yeah.
But, you know, what game did they should go 0-22 or 0-20-something at three-point shots? What
it was game 7 against the Warriors. A few years ago.
Oh, a few years ago. Excuse me. Okay, that's right.
Yeah.
But didn't they just have a bad shooting game a couple of games ago, too?
Yeah, they live and die by it. They do.
Exactly. Game 1, they couldn't mostly miss, die. And thus the blowout. So it's just one of those things. Either what's funny is though, obviously when those shots aren't hitting, now they have no other option. Just keep firing because they don't have, like I said, they don't have a guy who could even. Okay, let's do something. Let's get a post up inside. And in years past with Chris Paul, when it wasn't good, that guy obviously he can get something going to the basket. Now Westbrook can do that. He's so physical, but still, they're more than happy to just keep. You know, Chuck, I mean, they keep setting records for three-pointers taken in a game.
When the coach says, let's run a set play and get a good shot, all the players are hearing is, okay, set good picks so we get a wide-open three.
Yeah, three-on-one fast break. Someone pulling up for a three just doesn't bother them. That's like the shot they want on a fast break.
And the Thunder, for the first time ever, they want Westbrook taking threes here because he would kill them when he would do it for them. So the more threes Westbrook takes,
the more it plays in Oklahoma City's hands.
For sure.
Wow. I'm excited for this game, too. This game tips off at 3:40. We handicapped two games so far, 12:40 tomorrow, Milwaukee, Orlando. Milwaukee with a 3-1 game lead. Numbers 13.5. The Bucks are favored, 226. That game, like I said, tips off at 12:40. The game to follow that at 3:40. Houston and Oklahoma City with Houston at 5 right now. I anticipate this game going all the way to 6. So if you like Houston, I'd probably fire up the app and jump on Houston right now. If you like Oklahoma City, I'd wait a little bit closer to game time. Already a full point move in the total from 225 to 226 in the last hour. And this series is tied at a 2-2. Let's head off to our next commercial break. We come back, we'll talk about Lakers and Portland. We have a whole slate of games on Sunday. We still got NHL and UFC to talk about on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva.
All right, welcome back to the William Hill Sports Show. We got in a good conversation that I forgot to bring up. With the NFL being 2 weeks away, the Pro Pick'em contest at William Hill, it's up and it's ready to go. So go down to the Club Cal Neva or any William Hill Racing Sportsbook and make sure you enter the Pro Pick'em. I talked to Michael Grodzki today. He's the head of marketing for William Hill. He came in and we had a meeting and talked about a lot of things. And they're still going to guarantee the $300,000. And he said that because of the current conditions in society, participation is going to be down as possibly as much as 50%. So you're talking about an incredible overlay for the William Hill Pro Pick'em contest, everybody. It's a one-time entry fee. $20. Is it 20 or 25? Dadgummit.
$25, $5 for $100.
Yeah. And each week you pick the winners of the NFL games with no point spread. No point spread. Just pick the winners. That's all you got to do. And I think $10,000 weekly prize and then season-long prize for the most winners selected throughout the entire year. So, yeah, and it's on. So, like I said, if you're ever going to enter, you want to play a great contest with a minimal investment. go sign up. $25, like Josh said, $25 an entry fee, or you can get five for $100, and it's first no spread. So yeah. That's exciting.
Which, Ken, you're making it sound a little easier than it is, because it's like,
it is
easy. I'm just saying, it's a different form of handicapping, but it's kind of funny
just
when
pick
you
pick the winners.
Right. But you know what I'm saying, though? You look at the thing and think, oh, this can't be so hard. 10-point favorites, I don't have to lay any points. And then you look at your card and you're, you know, 8-7. I'm just saying it happens.
Yeah.
It's not as easy as you're making it sound, right. Is my point.
But usually, if you lose the 10-point favorite, everybody else did too.
Oh, for sure. But I'm just saying, it's just kind of funny. The deceptive part of that contest. Like, yeah, no spread involved. That it still creates its own set of challenges.
Trying to sell entries here.
Hey, somebody's going to win regardless, John. I'm just saying. It's one of those things. It is, yeah, it's a simple contest. That doesn't mean it's easy. There's a difference.
Everybody knows it's not easy.
Did I give you free entry?
You did.
Can I get it back?
Sure.
No, I'm just
give two to Spencer. Yeah, exactly. He's the new one.
You're lucky. Josh, you're lucky you can only have one entry per person.
But Ken, I was going to mention that you alluded to talking to Grotzke. I mentioned a couple of times how Sportsline and William Hill are now official sponsors, or I should say partners of each other.
Yes.
And that's becoming more ingrained by the day, so much so that this was kind of funny. The other day I was going into our video library, and, you know, we have for every contributor everywhere, you know, whether it's Jim Nance or whoever you're looking for, we have, you know, people in every sport. We have specific betting videos, of course, I want to put on the site. So I go looking for those, and who do I see? Sure enough, Nick Bogdanovich, who I used to interview here from time to time when he was at the Cal Neva. But, of course, now we have a studio set up. Someone from the CBS headquarters interviewing, you know, Nick, who's somehow set up in his, you know, office. And there was a series of videos, you know, him breaking down whatever they had. I remember hockey, I think NBA, but the short ones to keep people's attention span there. So these quick hitters, and he did a handful of them. I said, yeah, it's just, you know, we're becoming more ingrained as like teammates day by day. So if you go to sportsline.com, you also find plenty of William Hill information. There'll be click-throughs for promotions or whatnot, where they might say, hey, if you live in Nevada, have you never done the, you know, click-through right now, and we'll give you a couple free entries. That type of thing is what we have.
That's right. And if you sign up after Monday, they're going to actually have a match. Grotzke brought that up, but you kind of jogged my memory. Right there, Josh. $10,000 or 10,000 bonus points to your mobile app, to your William Hill account for purchasing. So basically, that's a $10 rebate, because when you do to your fall rewards, you get cash back for your points.
And right.
So basically, it's even less than that. So okay, so sign up for the William Hill Pro Pick'em contest. It's the simplest contest in the world, no matter what Josh says. Lakers, late game tomorrow, Lakers 6:10 tips off versus Portland Trailblazers. We talked about this earlier, Josh, too. You know, Portland steals game one, and everybody was all over Portland talking about how bad the Lakers, you know, how unfocused they've been, how bad they looked in the bubble. And they, you know, here they are. They've rolled off three straight wins. Looks like Lillard's not going to play. Lakers lose game one, 100-83. Come back, bounce back, 111-88. Game three, 116-108. And then last game, game three, we're talking about Lillard went out. He didn't play in game four. The Trailblazers lost by 20. And Nick opened up this game at 13.5. Lakers, a 13.5-point favorite. 223 is the total. And this is game five and a possible closeout game for the Lakers. So it goes back to LeBron's been very active in this boycott. Where does he stand, Josh?
You know what, Ken? Here's the thing with Portland, it's funny because you mentioned, you're right, they're everyone's hot team. Well, they came in, you know, to the bubble action, and they were playing really well. And then there was that speculation. It's like, yeah, the really hot team at this time is facing the Lakers, who have been in kind of a funk ever since play restarted, and you wondered how it was going to happen. I will say I didn't believe in that angle at all, but then the first game, it looked like I was wrong. The Lakers came out there just as listless as they'd been previously, and it looked like, wow, maybe, you know, the Blazers people are going to be right. This be a competitive series. It finally appear that was their wake-up call, because, like I said, Lakers have just rolled by them. But with this specific spread, Ken, I just feel like it's too many points. When you realize the very first game was Lakers 5.5, and now it's 13.5, in my mind, Damian Lillard's not an 8-point guy to the spread. He just isn't. There's only a couple – I mean, we're talking about, like, seriously, Kobe. There's only a couple guys who could generate – or LeBron – that many points, you know, for the spread if he were out. And you remember the Blazers made the Western Conference Finals last year, but Lillard, while not injured, struggled tremendously, and they were kind of carried by McCollum. So they've even played without, you know, one of those two guys playing particularly well. And given that the rest of their roster is kind of back, where they got, you know, healthier, you know, during the break, I just feel like I feel like they would find a way. That's just too many points, is what I'm getting at. I feel like the Blazers, with the season on the line, I feel like they'll fight, and that's a ton of points.
It is. I look at it pretty much the same. I look at the Bucks Magic game. They both started off horribly in game one, found their stride, hit the switch. Going back to it, Dame, if he's not an 8-point player, he's awful close. Especially now, he's just playing at a different level. Blazers are going to fight. Blazers are talented. I think they can keep it close there. I like the Magic more than I like the Blazers here. I think the Lakers could blow their doors off. You know, honestly,
if you're in game 4-2, guys, didn't the Lakers come out and just absolutely just blitz them immediately?
Yeah.
Wasn't it like 27-2 or I mean something crazy?
It never
just got out.
Yeah. I mean, the first score I saw was 24-8 on Kobe.
It was like 80-42 at halftime.
Yeah. So like my point is my point here, guys, is that even though this is 135-115, a 20-point spread, it wasn't that close. Yeah.
Right.
It was more like they lost by 30.
Exactly. That was similar to the Thunder Rockets we were talking about. The first couple games, the score looks reasonably respectable, and that was not even the case.
I have no interest in a Portland team without Lillard. I have zero interest in that. I really do. You know, Josh, real quick, going back to the Oklahoma City-Houston game, you know, I'm watching this. It's already went up another half point. So we went on the air. It was 225. You reported 226. It's up to 226 and a half. So a full point and a half move in the Oklahoma City-Houston game in the last, I don't know, hour. Going back to the Lakers, like I said, I don't have any interest in the Blazers in this situation. You've taken the heart out of them with their leaders gone. And you've got the Lakers in a situation. Who will the Lakers have in the second round? I said, I left all my notes on my desk.
The winner of the Jazz or the Jazz?
Yeah, I believe it's the Jazz Nuggets because that's the 4-5 matchup.
Right, the winner of the Jazz and Nuggets.
Okay, and then that game is actually Sunday, so the Lakers could get a one extra day rest and maybe even possibly more if Denver wins that closeout game on Sunday. So I think you get a big effort by the Lakers, but there's always a distraction. You know, and Anthony Davis has got to take over in one of these games. I mean, I know that
– we've been waiting for that for 8 years.
Yeah. So I just have – this game would only be Lakers at 13 or pass for me. I probably will lean to a pass because the urgency is with Portland, but without their leader, I just don't know if it's enough, Josh. I just, and this is just a gut feeling, guys. Just an absolute gut feeling.
And Ken, it's funny you mentioned that because as many points as that truly is, like I said, the way the series has been going, it also wouldn't surprise me if it's just, you know, false hope out the window. Like I said, another 30-7 start, and you're thinking, you know, it's already money out the window. So I do think it'd be one way. I put it this way: I don't see it being close to the number, Ken. Though I just feel like if Portland does decide to show up and fight hard,
it's a 6-point game,
right? Exactly, yeah. Within that 2-possession window,
or
for
26.
Sure, right? It's not going to fall. There's not going to be a backdoor three to decide it either way. I don't feel.
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree with that. Game on Sunday, we have three games. Also, first game tips off at 10:10. Game one between Toronto and Boston. This is going to be a great series. Raptors are -2 right now, -140 on the money line, or -140 to win the series. But I look at this game right here. Everybody kind of wrote off the Raptors when Kawhi left. But you know what, guys? They compete. They play well. They play good defense, and they just find ways to win games.
Yeah.
You know, but Boston is John. I know you follow Boston really, really close because, you know, being
the enemy.
Yeah, the enemy. Know your enemy. Yeah. So I'm going to throw this one up to you real quick and see what you think. Raptors are -140 to win the series. And the Raptors are, I'm pulling it right back up and see if there's any change right here. Raptors are -2 with a total of 216 in game one.
This is going to be a fun series here. And we are seeing, like you said, that, you know, there was a perception that this was a one man team with Kawhi and you know, Siakam, I guess, but they've proven to be one hell of a ball club, and the Celtics just have so much firepower. What's Hayward's status? Because I believe he's out still. Yeah, I think so.
Is he? Spence said he thinks he's out.
Hayward's out. So that's a big deal. But Jason Tatum is playing lights out. Jaylen Brown. I just think the Celtics have too much talent. I like the value there. Plus money with the Celtics to win the series. I'll take that. Begrudgingly.
I don't think Boston is going to come out and blow their doors off early.
No, not at all. I think this is a 7-game series.
Man, I look at this and I can get Boston and Brad Stevens plus points.
Right. Yeah.
I just in game one, you know, I don't know.
It disgusts me, but yeah.
I mean, Boston, I don't know. This it's Boston for me, guys. It really is. Until I can be talked off of it, I just think it's Boston is the side.
Yeah, Ken, I agree. Well, I think they're playing better right now, but it's funny you mentioned, you know, the Raptors, because similarly, right before the stoppage happened, I don't want to say underestimated them this year, because you know they're good. They're always a solid home team. They're good against the number. But there were times where it just really looked like value against them. Like, geez, you know, they're laying points on the road against a respectable team. And so there are times where I kind of jump in thinking, you know, the numbers got a little out of hand. But they would be, I mean, they were one of the, I think, probably the best spread team in the league before this happened. And it is crazy, because with Kawhi last year, they were good without him, because you realize Kawhi voluntarily sits like a third of the game. So you got to see the Raptors play
really
without him last year.
Yeah,
and they just
really
said, okay, we're on his terms. We're having 1 year. Of course, it paid off because they won the championship with the 1 year that he played. But with him gone, it's kind of funny, because you're like, geez, it really doesn't seem like they're missing that much. Of course, he was probably the difference against the Bucks, right? That closer,
sure.
The guy who came back. So you wonder when it gets right down to it. But when I'm wondering, with the way this Raptors team has evolved, and I don't know if he can keep it up, but is Fred VanVleet like a legit closer? I mean, he's been the closer.
He
can he do this in the playoffs?
I think he can. Because
he's been the Kawhi replacement guy, basically.
I'll tell you right now,
in terms
he ain't
of
scared.
Closing out the game. Siakam, to say, you could win most improved twice in a row, because he went from like 19 points a game up to
level,
like 25.
Yeah.
And so he's crazy athletic and skilled. So it's one of those things where I've learned to not underestimate the Raptors, and yet I still agree that the Celtics have the slight overall right now the slightly better roster, and I think they're playing in a better current form.
Yeah, that's how I feel exactly.
I gotta get the world clock up right now, guys, because I can't miss traffic. Do you have anybody have a clock up? Because I get in trouble if we miss traffic. All right, what do we got here?
Got a couple minutes.
No, we have less than a minute. And it's
you have less than a minute.
So. Spence, just let me know. Can you give me a countdown?
All right, yeah, you got a little over 30 seconds right now.
Yeah, I think 30 seconds, okay. I think in the first series, I think the Raptors, you know, they played a depleted Nets team, and they swept them. On the other side, Boston played a pretty good Philly team, John. And
depleted Philly team. Let's keep the depleted thing going.
Yeah, and I think Boston had a little bit tougher road in round one than the Raptors did. I think in game one, I think Boston wants to come out and establish some defensive presence.
Sixers quit.
And kind of slug him in the mouth a little bit. So we got 10 seconds. So with that being said, we have 10 seconds. I'm going to take the points in this game one. So I'm going to take the Celtics plus the points in game one. So we have to head off to traffic. We'll be back after these messages on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva.
Welcome back. I just heard the most depressing thing in the world. I just heard the strength of the wolf is the strength of the pack is the wolf. I know. I mean, fired up. Pack's supposed to be playing UC Davis tomorrow. I mean, and this was the year where everything in our schedule lined up well. The Pack could have been in the Mountain West Conference.
Well, just postpone. It's not canceled.
It's the Mountain West. It's canceled.
All right.
I don't know. Come on. Get it together, Mountain West Conference. Dadgummit. Josh? Don't take over for a second, Josh, while I calm down.
Hey, nice transition, Ken. That's a real favorable position to put me in. But yes, moving forward on the NBA then. After Celtics,
we have Clippers,
Raptors,
Dallas.
Here we go, another closeout game.
12:40
this Sunday, Clippers, Mavericks. And it's funny, right, because I guess apparently Porzingis is still going to be out, because now you've got your spread at minus 10. Clippers, that's just too bad, because that was
I tell you,
it's been a heck of a series. They need their second best guy, obviously, but it's Clippers minus 10, 238.5. And I got to tell you, I was disappointed the other night, because I was hoping the Mavericks would hang in there. But
Luca is amazing.
Yeah. And he's
playing on one leg.
The truth.
Yeah. What's that?
He is the truth.
He's 21 years old. And I tell you what, if you're looking for future bets, and this Dallas team is coming.
Completely. Again, I was so glad they won last Sunday. It's funny, I haven't celebrated a pro basketball outcome like that in ages. But not only did I have a nugget on the Mavericks plus 260 money line, but I watched that, and I just felt like, you know, when you talk about, I realize things are, you know, people don't always, you know, get what they deserve or whatnot, but I felt like they deserved to win that game. I felt like they were getting hosed by the refs, like the last 5 minutes of regulation and then overtime, where a couple times Luka got mugged. You know, they got a layup. I mean, key things where, like, if they keep it or they get their free throws. So I'm thinking, you know, this is just, you know, frustrating. One of those deals where obviously the Clippers are the better team. But this is just going to be agonizing if they end up losing on this. So Morris hits the three from the corner. I'm thinking, man, to fight so hard and outplay the Clippers almost the entire way, this is just really disappointing if they don't get the win. And then he hits that step back three. And to me, there's just to me, that was the best poetic justice I've seen in a while in a sporting event. So they deserve that. So I was hoping they'd keep it up. But you just can't. Like Porzingis, like I said, without – it's crazy they've been this competitive because as good as Doncic is, like I said, something we've mentioned on previous shows, that they sort of sold the farm to get two cornerstone guys with one of them out being a seven-footer with versatility and everything. It's just Luka and a bunch of role guys and – you know, it's like good luck.
Tim Hardaway Jr.
Good
is
luck.
Your second best option.
Yeah, exactly. And the other guys, though, you never know. I mean, obviously, Seth Curry is capable.
Yeah.
You know, guys who just on any given night could be, you know, influential. But I just hate that Porzingis had to miss the whole rest of the deal because Dallas already beat him twice. And I'd love to see it go seven. So having said that, I'm still jumping in on the Mavs because
too many points?
Yeah.
238 is the total. Look at game one, 118-110, so that game goes under. Game two, 127-114, so that game goes over. Next game, 131-122, over, 135-133, over, 154-111, over. I think this game goes under. I think that if Dallas is going to compete,
it'd be a good idea.
Huh?
It'd be a good idea to keep it under.
Exactly. That's my point. And I think that if Dallas can't compete, I think they end up getting Luka out and not getting him hurt any further.
Yeah.
And I think that scoring will be at a minimum for
And there's obviously a lot of leeway there, Ken, too. Like you said, it'd be 125-110.
Yeah,
under.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
And all you need to hit one of these totals and in play, listeners, all you need is just have a 2-minute scoring drought, and this 138 is basically untouchable. I mean, there's injuries. You know, you got the second best option for Dallas out. You got the Clippers who want to run, but they play defense too. And man, I just this 238. Or it just looks way too high for me, guys. This is going to be a play for me, and I'm gonna have my mobile app right there. I think, you know, 3-2, you're going to get both teams are going to get motivated. I just don't know how much Dallas can come out and really compete, you know, with one of their two best players out and the other one playing on one leg.
Yeah,
you know, he can't play all 38 minutes. You know, he can't do it. Or 48 minutes, excuse me. He's going to have to come out, and that's when you're going to get the separation times. And I think you get some lockdown defense in that time. I think this number should be more like right around 231, maybe 232. And I think 238, guys, is just way too much. So this is going to be a play for me on the under.
I like the Clippers here. I think we talk about it all the time, Josh, stretching that rubber band. I think that's where the Mavericks are at this point. Just without Porzingis and you know, Luka's not 100%, obviously. And it's just invaluable what the experience that he's getting right now against a team like the Clippers with Kawhi, Paul George, and it's just going to benefit them in the future. This is a guy I think is going to win multiple MVPs, multiple championships if they surround him with the right pieces, shooters, big man, that type of stuff. He's a joy to watch. I love that guy. He is so much fun to watch.
And that team is too, like you said,
and he's either 21 or 31, right?
It's exactly right.
That's
we looked up the.
He's talking about Luka.
My buddy, the office big Mavericks fan, Chris McKinnon. Happy birthday, Chris! By the way, we looked up his mom's age. There was no age listed, so we're like, yeah, she's like 70.
Explain to everybody why we're saying that.
Because look, I mean, he plays beyond his years.
And I gotta say, he's the most mature looking 21-year-old you've ever seen.
He's got perfect hair.
The goatee and the line.
He's got perfect
facial
hair.
It's like he doesn't look that young. But regardless, obviously his game's advanced too. And I think Dallas is on the come up so much. I mean, next year they could be in the thick of things in the Western Conference. It's clear they just need a couple more things. The health. You also realize they're without guys like Dwight Powell. They're without other role guys that have been huge for them all year, out injured. So they get their health back. But Ken, just like one other good piece, whether it's, say, it's through the draft or free agency, let's say you add another real solid 3-and-D guy, right? Or just, again, some first-rounder who fits in or a veteran. I just feel like
kid's 21 years old.
One more core piece in the health from this year's roster, and next year they're top four in the West.
This guy, this kid, Luka Doncic, he might break every NBA record out there. He's 21 years old.
Yeah, I mean, you're a kid. He's absolutely fearless. He's huge.
He might be in the league for another 15 years.
Well, that was great, too, is when he brushes off the contact. There are times where I still feel, especially and ones that he deserves. It's kind of funny because there's one little gripe about him to see so far. Like, yeah, he's starting to get to do the thing where he whines to the refs.
And I agree with that, too.
I was going to say, it's not a reputation you want to get, but I want to see in this bubble and in this playoff, so I could hardly blame him because there's times where I'm stunned where I think I absorb so much contact that goes in. It's like, can he get an and one time?
And it's a soft shot. Yeah. I mean, he's getting does some things that you really have to notice, like making people swipe at the ball and getting easy foul calls and driving and his assist capability is fantastic. I mean, hitting wide, he just sees everything.
Yeah,
I mean,
so like I said, the help's coming over. Yeah, he beats one guy. The help's coming over. You're like, oh, look out, he might get it, you know, shot blocked here. But he sees it. I think with that half second delay, absorbs the contact, and then he's just so smooth.
So my only play in this game is going to be the under 238. I think there's going to be a lull at some time, and if I'll be able to get off of it at some time on the in play. So John, real quick, do you have a play that you want to give out on this game?
The Clippers. I think the Clippers are.
I think it's time.
It is. Okay. I do.
A little Paul Sonner special favorite and under.
That's something to think about. Yeah, this is a perfect spot for that. I think. I just the rubber band's been stretched for the Mavericks, in my opinion.
Yeah, and a shout out to Joe Sonner today. I talked to her last couple of days. She's doing well and getting the Bullies all fired up and ready for football. So
good.
Make sure that you guys are supporting Bullies too. A little free plug for Bullies. You know, I talked to Joe. I haven't talked to her in about 3 or 4 months, and then she called me out of the blue, and we had a nice little conversation. She's the Paul's, I guess, widow.
Yeah,
that'd be correct.
Right.
No, Paul, the owner of Bullies, and she's taking over all the operations of Bullies, and they're up and running, and they're so ready for football. It's not even funny. All right. Josh, do you want to give out a play on the Clippers-Dallas game?
Yeah, well, like I said, I would lean underdog, but I also like your angle on the under because, like I said, there's so much wiggle room there. And, of course, this high-scoring games, whatever, they could eclipse that number. But you're going to be alive for so long, and I agree, like, the lack of Dallas firepower is a huge factor
for
in
four
that.
Quarters.
Right.
I think you get spurts of Dallas firepower, but not four quarters.
Exactly.
That's my angle on that. Dallas and Denver. The Jazz in Denver, another possible closeout game. This game is the third game on Sunday. Right now, the Jazz lead 3-2. Jazz let one get away last game, guys. You know, but right now they have the Jazz at -2.5 at a total of 221. This has been a fun series. It really has. I really don't know what to expect from this game. You know, Denver came back from. I remember having a Denver in this game last game.
I did too. 15. And late third. I thought they were done.
Done.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, boy, did this team close
just
out.
Just in time.
Absolutely
came
close
alive.
Out.
Jamal Murray.
Jamal Murray over 25 points.
Fourth quarter.
In what quarter?
Yeah, that's the thing is he only had 9 at the half. He had 7, and they had that foul call right at the buzzer
right.
There.
He missed a wide open 3 to end the third that would cut it to 1. It's like that was the quietest 42 I've ever seen because it was like 28 of them came in the last like 4 minutes. I mean,
he's the first,
caught fire and closed it, thankfully.
First player in history with back-to-back 40-point games with no turnovers?
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah,
that's
I wasn't crazy. Aware of that. But
look at this total, guys. With the Jazz being favored by 2.5, this total is 221. In each game, one team has scored at least 117 points in all five of these games. 135, 125, 124, 105, 124, 87, 129, 127, 117, 107. It looks light. I think the pace is going to be there. I think when it comes down to it, Denver really doesn't play that good a defense, everybody. I think that the Jazz lose game one, then they come back, they storm back and win the next three. They should have won it in game five. They let a big lead get away, and the Nuggets were able to capitalize on it. The Jazz were never able to get back on track. This is going to be – I'm going to take the Jazz and over in this game. I'm going to take the square parlay or the square angle, and I'm going to make two straight bets and take a really short price on the Jazz, and I'm going to bet this game over. I think the Jazz are going to be able to get to about 115, right in that area, and if they get to 115, I can't lose both bets.
I'm with you on that one. I mean, it's another one. You can't bet an under.
Yeah, I like Denver a little bit, Ken, only because when you first saw this matchup, it seemed like the most even first-round series. I was surprised at how actually Jazz lost the first one and how they just took control for the next three. But I just feel like that rally that we saw with the Nuggets finding that desperation down 15 and somehow kept the season alive. And even at the pro level, you don't see that all that often. I think it's going to carry over. I feel like the fourth quarter, they're going to have that belief that they finally have it figured out, push it to the 7 games that we all thought was probably going to happen anyway. And they're finally having some role players. You realize Denver's completely banged up, too. They had guys that were huge last year, like Will Barton. You know, when they made their run, they had some integral parts that were missing – You remember they showed up with a lot of guys missing at the bubble. But the flip side of that, they've developed some talent. I had no idea, John. Like Michael Porter Jr. is like,
yeah,
he appears to be the real deal.
Boy,
like,
he's playing well.
After that 1 year at Missouri, in which he was injured the whole thing, he played like three games.
Well, he was so highly touted going to Missouri.
Right. And so the few games that he played for them, that you watched it, you couldn't really tell either way. But of course, he sat and learned and whatever. But now he's out there like it's nothing. I mean, talk about, you know, a 3-and-D guy. I mean, he's been the type where they spread the floor and Jokic kind of does the point forward thing and kicks it out.
Yeah.
When he's the guy, the recipient of the kick out, he's getting close to automatic from the,
you know,
from the short corner. So he's been huge for them as well because he's made some key buckets. Of course, Murray just continues his progression. And yeah, I just feel like we're headed to seven here.
Right.
With you.
I can see that angle too. I really can. I just like to correlate a parlay where I think the Jazz have a better opportunity.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've got the Jazz to win it all, so I'd be happy if they close it out as well.
Yeah.
What price did you get the Jazz?
I did 60-1, just thinking that I thought when the Jazz played well, they're going to be a tough out. You know, the possibility of the Lakers maybe upset before the finals. I just like, so I took a shot at 60-1.
Oh, I did too, didn't I? We talked about that.
Well, I showed you mine. I don't know if you jumped in.
No, I did. I forgot about
you
that.
Did
I,
jump
I,
in?
I have a future bet on that too.
Cool.
I forgot about that because we looked at it.
Right.
It was still at 60.
Right.
Wow. I didn't even know that. So, all right, let's head after our last commercial break. We come back. We got UFC to talk about. And John, you got any parting words? I know you got to get off to a going away party. Anything? You're not going to make the last segment. So.
No.
All right. Well, we'll back after these messages on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now, back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva.
All right, welcome back to the last segment of the William Hill Sports Show on ESPN 94.5 FM. Don't forget, the Pro Pick'em contest for William Hill is up and running. Make sure you run down there. It's hard to believe, everybody. Football is actually 2 weeks from yesterday, the NFL season kicks off. I mean, I know that your internal clock when in football is supposed to kick off, you know, it hasn't been activated yet because there's no preseason. You know, and the Wolfpack was supposed to open up tomorrow, too, versus UC Davis. So, football, pro football, and there's college football tomorrow, Austin Peay and Central Arkansas. That's up on the William Hill mobile app. You can get that at www.williamhill.us. It's a full-service sports handicapping ability on your mobile app. Right now, this opened up at Central Arkansas. Austin Peay opened up at -4. It's up to 5.5. And a total of 45.5. I know that everybody's going to be betting. There's got to be a take number here eventually, Josh, with, you know, once the public's going to jump all over the favorite because that's hence the 1.5 move already. But hey, if you're looking to bet some college football, tomorrow's the time. It's going to be on ESPN at 6 p.m. too, Josh.
Exactly. Ken, so as you mentioned, just out of principle, I'll wait for that number. Take a part of the dog just to, you know, have some action. And as far as that total goes, which is going to move also because, you know, people love to play the overs as a standard position, as you mentioned. But I also think, you know, I might take a shot on the over as well because that's just such a low college football total, right? More or less one of those things where do it just to root for some action.
Sure.
At 45.5, four long quarters, is like, it's just no matter how, you know, these teams play on defense, that's possible over as well.
All right. Let's move on, Josh. Your favorite topic, UFC. I mean, I've become an avid UFC bettor, you know, since the shutdown and everything, and Dana White, and kind of getting the UFC bubble going, and we have another fight card tomorrow. You see any value on the card?
Yeah, Ken, it's a pretty decent card for, as you know, the free ones are concerned, but sort of an intriguing, you know, main event, because you might remember Anthony Smith was the guy a few months ago who was on the short end of that beating, you know, that went five rounds where everyone's saying stop the fight, how could you do, where, you know, Glover Teixeira, the guy who was fighting, had took control and nearly stopped him at the end of the second, and the ref, for whatever reason, let it go on, you know, two more full rounds. And it was just a pummeling as he's just laying there on the ground, you know, being, you know, pounded by the other guy. And so you often wonder, guy, is that seriously, you know, a career-changing type beating? Smith also, you know, was given a title shot against John Jones a few years ago when, even though he was never the top-ranked contender at the time, everyone else was injured, whatever, they sort of just went down the ladder and gave him a title shot, and that one turned out much the same way. I mean, not quite as a sustained, you know, beating, but Jones put it on him pretty good. So this guy's been through some battles, and you wonder, you know, even though he's only 32, he's been around the fight game. He's been a pro for like 12 years already. Has he taken, you know, too much damage already? The opponent is Alexander Rakic, who's really good. He's a young kid, just one loss in the UFC. It was a controversial decision. He's from, you know, Austria, and it's kind of funny. I watched some of the interviews this week, and I'd seen him fight before a few times on TV. Never seen him speak at length, and it's hard not to root for him. He seems like a real happy-go-lucky kid with very, you know, ambitious and respectful. And he's going to be a guy I'll keep an eye on just because I really appreciate his attitude. But he's a big favorite in this one, Ken. But here's what's funny. Earlier this week, though, you know, he opened up at like minus 350. There was a point where you could almost get plus $3 on Smith. That's gone way down, so it's now Rakic minus 270 and Smith plus 230. And I got to tell you, I'm not surprised because everything I just said about, you know, Smith and the the tough outings he's had where he took, you know, pretty sustained damage two of his last three fights, this is the sort of fight he tends to win. The reason he's been around so long and the reason he's been top five for a few years now, he's one of those guys that never impresses you too much. It always looks like the other guy is, you know, filling the blank, faster, stronger. He's not like great on the ground, but he's just pretty capable at everything. But his biggest strength has been finding a way to like overcome adversity in a fight and end up winning. It wouldn't surprise me at all, Ken, if he came alive here and just caught the kid off guard. We've seen a lot. One thing you've seen, a UFC trend lately, is when they bring up the sort of, you know, hyped kid and they bring him up to the next level, and that's either for the first time in the top 10 or, in this case, you're Rakic fighting with someone in the top five for the first time. You've seen a lot lately where it's like really welcome, you know, to the big league moment where they step the guy up and the veteran wins. This is that case, except, you know, you still get plus 230, even though the price is diminished, Ken, you still get plus 230 on the underdog, and I feel like, you know, I'll have a few bucks on him just because that's the more value side.
All right. I don't have a whole lot in this fight, Josh. I know in some of these smaller cards like that, you know, I do like to take I do like to take shots on some of these big prices. The next fight, no, I do kind of have an opinion. You know, the Magny Lawler fight. You know, Robbie Lawler is on this card. You know, this guy used to be a fearless Robbie Lawler, used to be a headliner. Ruthless Robbie Lawler used to be a headliner. You know, he's lost four of his last fights, and on the contrary to that, Magny's won four of his last fights. But you know, a lot of people I'm talking, or I'm listening to, kind of like Lawler at plus 195 in this. And I know one of the guys that writes for you at Sportsline, Josh. You know, I was just seeing what he likes right here, and he kind of likes Lawler by knockout.
Yeah, he's plus 210 now, by the way. Oh, wow. So that's a good overlay. So yeah, it shows you the money's coming in on Magny. That's just a tough one, Ken, because I think similar, although much more proven than Anthony Smith, Robbie Lawler just appears to be shot, and it's too bad because, right, he's one of those, you know, living legends who's still going and whatnot. But he was welterweight champ. He was in a bunch of wars, and you can trace it back to actually, you know, a couple, you know, brutal fights he had, and he more or less hasn't been the same since. And you said he's lost a bunch, and to me, the issue is he just hasn't looked terribly competitive. Now, at any point in time, you're right, he still has that knockout power and he still has the resilience and everything. But there's something where, you know, compared to the guy who was in his prime 4 or 5 years ago, it's clear there's a huge drop off because he hasn't really been competitive in these fights either. He's getting kind of, you know, blown out on the scorecards or whatnot. He hasn't fought in almost a year, so he's a year older. And that's a puncher's chance for sure, but I just wouldn't. I for sure don't want to play Neil Magny at minus 250, but
so it's probably going to be a pass for you?
Yeah, exactly. It's probably Lawler or a pass, but I'm just saying I do believe the price is there for a reason because it looks like Lawler, unfortunately, is kind of shot.
All right. I'm a follower when it comes to – I do like some UFC situations, but, you know, I'm not keen enough on these lower-level fights in respect to these fighters, you know, Lawler especially, you know, who's had a huge UFC MMA career. You know, but so I don't really. I'm kind of a follower when it comes to this. Spence, feel free to. Do you have any opinion on either of these first two fights? Not really.
Not really.
Okay, he's kind of like. So what else you
got?
Well,
I was going to say another one to keep your eye out for, Ken, is like one that's on the main card, but it's the guy's UFC debut. It's a guy named Bill Algeo is plus 250 against Ricardo Lamas, who's minus $3. I bring this up because Lamas has been around like 11, 12 years. He's fought Uriah Faber. He's fought a lot of the top guys. I think he's never been in a title fight, but he's kind of, you know, with the who's who of the top 10 he's been in there with, and, you know, win some, lose some against the top guys. He's, you know, tended to come up on the short end, but he's still hanging around. And kind of just, we've seen this happen a lot this year with the UFC giving guys, and they've always had short notice situations and giving guys shots, but it's happening even more this year with unexpected, you know, unavailability of a lot of guys. He's one of those guys I think they were going to sign anyway. He was on like Dana White's Contender Series last year. It was one of the deals where I think he won his fight. But they didn't offer him a contract right away because it's not like an automatic thing, but they still had their eye on him. Apparently, I think he's been like training and living out of Las Vegas. So Lamas had another opponent fall through the other day. It's one of those deals, right, where they ask the guy like on Wednesday, you want to show up and fight? Sure, I'll go for it. But all year, Ken, we've seen these guys, like the AAA call up on a 3 days notice, and they come in and win. And not to mention, like I said, he's younger, hungrier than the 11-year veteran in Lamas. And I got to tell you, Bill Algeo, yeah, +250, he's getting a piece of the action for sure.
You know, I want to step back real quick, Josh, and talk about this Robbie Lawler fight, because there was something on this that I didn't even see as much, you know, but Robbie Lawler, how old is Robbie Lawler?
I want to say 35-ish, mid-30s.
Did you see the
3 minutes, guys? 3 minutes?
That'd be my guess without looking it up. He's mid-30s. Maybe 37.
I think this under 210 for an older fighter, and your guy thinking that Lawler might take him out, Josh, I think in the Lawler fight the price might be bet this thing under at +210. +210 under 2.5 on Lawler fight. I think now that I see that, I do like that a little bit.
Well, it's also kind of a correlated parlay because I feel like if Lawler wins, it'll probably be by stoppage. Magny
Lawler is 38.
I was just going to check it myself.
So that's what I was looking at. Right. 38. So you know, you get a 38-year-old over there, and one pro UFC fighter thinks Lawler's going to take him out. The other side of the coin is how much tank does he have left in the gas tank?
Right.
Bet it under. I like under 210. All right, Josh, we got about 2 minutes. Fire through some more of this UFC.
Sure. I was just looking for. More to go with here. Might look like my app crashed for a second. But again, here's another one, Ken, just to watch for sporting, entertainment value. This is a rematch. It's the first fight on the main card. And it's guys, they actually fought a few months back. It's Magomed Ankalaev. He's Russian. And Ion Kutalaba. And they're both like kind of fringe top 15 guys, whatever. It's supposed to be a good fight, but can end up being wild. They fought a few months back, and the fight seriously lasted, I think, like 35 seconds right from the opening bell. They're both just throwing blows. The ref stepped in and stopped it, even though the guy was still on his feet. He looked like he might be out on his feet. But as the ref stopping it, the guy who lost is like throwing a punch. So he was saying,
fight.
Right. So he's saying, hey, I was fine. So the guy is just, Kutalaba is just so furious about the stoppage, pretty much demanded a rematch. Ankalaev didn't want anything say to do with it, but he cracked the top 15 because of that win, so he's seen as the better guy, and you can tell here, a huge favorite. But again, that's another one, Ken. That was such a war, and Kutalaba is so convinced that he can beat the guy, just his self-belief system alone is going to be +270, take a shot. But it's kind of funny, so it turned into these guys didn't know each other, and now
they hate each other.
Yeah, it's this huge thing. They're talking trash back and forth. And even in the first one, Ken, they were doing that. They were the type that they collided in the octagon before the fight started. Like, they both walked in and had to be separated. So just worth, so for your entertainment value and another possible underdog, check out that Kutalaba and Kalayev fight tomorrow.
All right. That's about it for us today. A couple things to remember, on a parting note, is download the William Hill mobile app at www.williamhill.us, full-service sports betting app right at your fingertips. The Pro Pick'em contest is up and running. They're still going to guarantee the $300,000. It's the NFL Pro Pick'em contest. Sign-ups are available at any brick-and-mortar. William Hill, come down to the Cal Neva, sign up there. We have three basketball games tomorrow, NBA back in action. We have three basketball games on Sunday. You can like the page on Facebook at Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. You can catch all Josh's stuff at Sportsline. Josh has got a ton of articles up right now. He's kind of a UFC pundit. And we have college football tomorrow, 6 p.m. on ESPN, Central Arkansas versus Austin Peay. So a lot of ways to get back into a sports handicap in action. Good luck, bettors. We'll see you same time next week, ESPN 94.5 FM.